We're going to focus on part two of the series that we're in. Luke 9, verse 57 through 62. Let's just read that together. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Let us pray. O Lord, most wonderful, merciful, and awesome God, Lord, we just come before you this morning. Lord, we have heard your word, the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, to each and every one of us. So, Lord, just go with us this morning as we seek to understand what Christ is talking about here, what he is asking of us, and what he is giving to us. So, Lord, just bless us today. Lord, bless me as I present this message, and may these be your words, Lord, and not mine. May you be praised and glorified through this service today. In thy name we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. So you may remember last week we looked at the first man here and how we're called to leave behind our material possessions, if that is what God calls us to. Today we move on to the second man. We're going to focus on the work of the Father. And this fits well since today is Father's Day. The first difference that we see here is that Jesus invites this man to follow him, whereas the first man had come to Jesus and said, "I will follow you." Maybe this man was just walking with Jesus out of curiosity. Wasn't sure if he really wanted to commit his life to him or not. He tells Jesus, "I will follow you, but first let me go bury my father." And then we see Jesus' seemingly harsh response. How many of you get a little unsettled when you see this response of Jesus? "Let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Such a harsh answer, it seems like. Jesus is supposed to be kind and merciful and loving. Why would Jesus not even allow this man to go properly grieve the loss of his own father? Did Jesus fully understand what he was asking this man to do? You know, there's been much debate over Jesus' answer here. Some believe that the man was lying about his father's passing. Others think that maybe this man's father hadn't passed away yet but was failing in health. And so the man wanted to stick around for maybe a few months or a year so that he could be there. So he was kind of using that as an excuse to buy some time before he committed his life to Christ. Most agree that Jesus was testing this man to see what was more important to him. However, I want to propose another possibility today. You see, in those days it was tradition that the family members of the deceased would wear special clothing, and they would refrain from speaking to anyone for 30 days after the death of their loved one. This could be very well the reason that the man did not speak until Jesus spoke to him first. because he was not supposed to speak. But he felt when Jesus spoke to him, he felt that he had to respond and let Jesus know why he wasn't speaking. And when the man said he must go bury his father, it is very likely that his father was already in the tomb, because burials happened within a few hours of death because of the hot climate in that region. This man felt obligated to hold to the burial rituals, which involved tending to the body with oils and spices, to herbs to kind of, you know, deal with the smell for several days afterwards. And the family members would take turns doing that. So this man may have had his turn coming up. So you see how emotionally this man was in a tough spot. He was hurting. He was grieving. He was looking for hope. This would explain why he is walking with Jesus instead of quietly sitting at his house or at the tomb of his father. How many of us, when we lose a loved one, find ourselves at church, just looking for some hope, maybe some answers, maybe just some peace? It could be very well what this man was doing. He'd heard of Jesus, so he wanted to go know more about him, learn more about the hope that Jesus taught. So if we look at it this way, Jesus' answer was not only a call to follow him, it was also a way of giving pastoral care. Let me explain. He says, go proclaim the kingdom of God. He doesn't say proclaim the law of God or even the wonderful story of God's creation. He doesn't say go read the scrolls of the prophets. No, he says go proclaim the kingdom of God. The kingdom. What can bring more comfort and hope to someone who is grieving than speaking about heaven? Speaking about that kingdom of God that we all get to be a part of if we believe in him. You see, Jesus' seemingly confusing answer to us was quite possibly a life-altering, life-changing event in this man's life. Jesus' answer is short, commanding, and yet loving, filled with meaning at the same time. As I meditated on this past week, I was given the understanding that Jesus may also have used this instance in a way to point to his own bodily death and burial. Let's keep in mind that father-son relationship. We see how Jesus, when he was crucified on the cross, you see in Mark 15, verse 34, that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, God, the Father, out of love for his created children, willingly turned away from his son. Part of his own being, he denied himself. To put it in human terms, God the Father did not go to the burial and death of Jesus Christ, his son, because of the love he had for each and every one of us. See that Father's love? So often we speak of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but we never stop to realize that because God is a triune as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Christ's crucifixion was deeply felt by the entire Trinity. Physically, emotionally, and of course spiritually. And I want to make sure that you know that I say all this in the most humble, respectful way possible. Some of you might ask, yeah, but does God even have emotions? After all, he says in Malachi 3, verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. So how can he have those feelings, those emotions? But I would challenge that today. Malachi 3, 6 does not mean that God does not have emotions, that God doesn't feel feelings. I would say, yes, God does have emotions. The Lord does not change in how good he is and his love for us. Just like an earthly father, when our children do something wrong, we still love them. As parents, we still love and accept our children. You see, let's look at a few instances where God shows emotion. As Genesis unfolds, we see the fall of man, the destruction of the world, the great flood, and many more instances. We're told how God felt in those times. Anger, regret, even hatred, yet favor, pleasure, and love, and even righteous jealousy at times. We need to remember that God created emotions. He's the author of our lives. He knows exactly how we feel. Because not only has he felt it, he created it. Just like a father knows what their child is feeling because of their own experience. We ought to take comfort in that. Jesus knew exactly what he was telling this man to do. He understood the grief that this man was feeling. He was not telling the man to forget about his father. Remember, Christ also says in Matthew 15, verse 4, God said, honor your father and your mother. That's what Christ says. And those are the words of God from Deuteronomy. Jesus also wanted this man to understand he must choose God over his emotions. He wants us to understand that we need to trust him and love him so much that even our emotions cannot separate us from serving him. Now I know that it would be very, very extremely difficult to miss the funeral of someone we love. But Jesus is calling us to that deep of a love for him. He wants us to be emotionally attached to him first. And everyone else and everything else comes in second. Because he denied his own self. He gave up everything. He came to earth in human form. Lived a perfect life in humility, served everyone wherever he went, and he died for our sins. This is no small thing. So we see with the first man, we're called to leave behind material possessions. With the second man, we're called to trust God so completely that no matter what the situation is, we will be able to set aside our emotions enough to still praise God through it. This week and in the future, as the good times and the bad times come, remember that no matter what the circumstances are, we're called to share that hope. That hope we have in Jesus Christ. We're called to share that with those around us. It doesn't have to be the death of a loved one. It can be anything that makes you question God's plan. The loss of a job, financial crisis, a sudden health problem, or anything that makes us feel anxious and unsure of God's love. I think the words of Paul in Philippians 4 can almost be seen as synonymous with Jesus' words to let the dead bury their own dead. And I'm going to finish with this morning. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.